I come from the small rural village of Landeck, which is about 50 minutes to the south and a little bit to the west. Kind of think Jewel, similar to Jewel, but instead of the cafe and prime rib, we have the tavern and the best fried chicken around. We also have, there's a little school, and actually the school building is owned by the parish, the Catholic Church, which is Caddy Corner across the street. There's a day that's ingrained in the memories of the old timers in Landeck, and this day was March 21st of 1948. Just about a week before that, there was a heavy snowfall in March, one of those late snowfalls, and it was actually one of the largest snowfall of that whole winter season happened just about a week before March 21st, the Feast of St. Joseph, 1948. It was a beautiful spring day, and everything seemed to be going along peacefully at the school and at the church, and very quickly, those dark, ominous clouds came. People began to see, the kids and the teachers began to see that something big was coming. The teachers were able to get the kids into the school. There happened to be five people over in the church. There was a sister, because there were sisters teaching in the school, a sister with two girls and two sixth grade boys. The sister was able to get the two girls into a closet, and an F2 157 mile per hour tornado came through Landeck that day, demolished the church. The sister and the two girls were fine. That room was untouched. But the two boys, the sixth grade boys who were praying the stations, the church collapsed. One of them died instantly, and the other died on the way to the hospital. And it's easy for us to say, wow, how could this tragedy happen? Just think about those two boys and the great potential and probably all that God had planned for them. So it can bring up a lot of questions when we experience or hear about a tragedy. And in the gospel today, of course, Jesus speaks about two different tragedies, when people had died very suddenly. The Galileans, as we heard, first talked about, then also those people who were killed in basically a construction accident at the Tower of Siloam. And there was this belief at the time that people suffered because of their sins. If someone did something sinful or failed to live up to who they were supposed to be, they were going to suffer. And that's the question that was in the people's minds. But Jesus helped them to redirect and refocus their thoughts. Instead of thinking, wow, they must have been these big sinners for this to happen to them, he gave them that harsh, blunt message. Repent, or you will perish as they did. Jesus says this two times, of course, as we hear. Repent, or you will perish as they did. Jesus wasn't saying that if you don't repent, you're going to die, you'll lose your bodily, physical life. But he was saying that, yes, you're called to turn away from your sinful ways, to turn away from your own way, and point yourself back to what God is calling you to. To enable him to work in your life, to change you, and to help you to unleash that potential and that call to greatness and holiness that God has for each and every person. Of course, this call to repent is one that we hear over and over again during this season of Lent. All of us know that we go the wrong way. We go our own direction. We hold on to things and grasp on to things, thinking, okay, God, I'm going to give you this over here in my life, but this is mine. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to take control of this. But the Lord invites us, yes, to turn along with everything, all that we have, all that we are, and we come before him. I think our first reading from the book of Exodus is very helpful in this regard. Moses had run away from Egypt. He had run away from his people. If you remember the story, he had witnessed one of the Egyptians mistreating one of the other Israelites, and he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And then the next day, the two Israelites were fighting, and they said, "Brothers, why are you fighting?" And they said, "Are you going to do the same thing that you did to the Egyptian?" And then Moses fled to that faraway land, trying to get away and to hide from God and to hide from his people. But then we hear that great encounter that he had. From the burning bush, God spoke. And God spoke to him and called him, to come to him. And it reminds us that, yes, God's mercy, his love, is this burning desire, this burning love for each and every one of us. And we hear Moses was afraid to look at God. There was a belief that if they saw God, they were going to die at that instant. But I think in our lives, we are afraid of God at times because we realize, wow, he sees me just as I am. He sees my warts, my faults, my mistakes. He knows my past, my present, my future, and we can be ashamed. But so we might want to turn away and we hold on to those things, or hold on to those wounds of the past, or our struggles with sin. But still, the Lord calls us also by name to turn to him, to bring those things to him. Because he also sees us, first of all, of course, as his beloved children, as one to whom he would give his son and give the life of his son for us so that we would be drawn back into relationship with him. He sees us in our weakness and our feebleness, but he also sees the great potential in all that he calls each of us to in our lives. That if we just submit to him, if we give him those things that we struggle with, if we come before him seeking forgiveness for our sins, he will heal us, renew us, strengthen us, and restore us in ways we could never imagine. Yes, it's easy for us to hold on to those things and turn away, but the Lord invites us to turn towards that burning mercy and that burning love. It is, yes, of course, difficult when we bring those things before him, but it's much more difficult when we turn away and we hold on to them ourselves. Yes, the fire can be painful. It can bring up things in our lives that perhaps we don't want to think about, but it's only allowing God to heal us, to strengthen us, to burn those things away, to purify us, can we find the peace that Jesus promises us and he offers to us. And as God reveals his name, he says, because Moses says, "How can I do this? How can I go back to my people unless you tell me, you reveal your name to me? How will they believe me?" And he says those words, "I am who am. I am who am." And in our all our weakness, all our shortcomings, we can look at ourselves and say, "I struggle with the same sin. I struggle with this wound in my life, and I just can't seem to get out. I can't seem to figure this out." But God says to us, "I am what you cannot be. I am love. I am mercy. I am your Father. I am your Redeemer. I am always there for you. I am all that you can't be. I am, as long as you place your hand in mine and walk with me and trust me and allow me to cultivate and to burn away those things that keep you from truly experiencing the fullness of my love." So yes, Jesus calls us to experience this healing, this forgiveness, this new life as we turn our lives back to the Father. And Lent, through our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, through returning to the sacrament of reconciliation, it's not just about a self-improvement project, but it's about bearing fruit, as we hear in the second part of the gospel. It's bearing fruit so that others would come to know the light, the love, and mercy of Christ. Yes, God calls us to turn towards him, because if we do not repent, we will find ourselves separated from him. But yes, he is that patient gardener, inviting us to come before him, inviting us to allow him to cultivate and to tend to us, and to take away all that keeps us away from his mercy and his peace. So today we pray for the grace to be able to turn back to the Lord with our whole hearts so that he can strengthen us and heal us and allow his light to shine through us.